Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the heart of the Carolinas, challenging the smug, misinformed arrogance of the left.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Hour number two of our broadcast. Because I'm a generous guy, I'm going to try to quickly get to some of your calls because the lines are actually full here. I need your cooperation here because we're going to try to breeze through some of your calls. 30 seconds each. That is the goal here, beginning with Jimmy out of Spartanburg. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, Vince. I know that your previous caller, his name Tony. You know,
yes.
I'm black, and you know what? The last election was the first time I ever voted Republican. I had lost my job of 21 years, and I had to, you know, I got out there, and it was bad out there during the Obama time, and so it was horrible. And so when Trump takes office, I got my feet back up, and I got a good job, working at a good place. You know, I wish he was, you know, at times I wish he was a better person, but you know what? I'm going to vote for him again because for me and my family, he's worked out.
Okay. That is fair enough, Jimmy. Very much appreciate your call, and look forward to hearing from you again sometime. Let's go out to Chad in Charlotte. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, about the caller that said he was a truck driver. I'm not an actual truck driver, but I know many. He makes decent money. He makes between $1,200 and $1,500 a week, so I don't know what he's complaining about.
I hear you, Chad. And here's the reality of this. I appreciate your call. There are people going to complain no matter what. This is why I don't like this continuing oppression narrative, because it will never, ever, ever go away, because there will be moving targets. That's what's going to happen here, moving targets, and people will always find some reason that we're still oppressed, and there's really no such thing. There's opportunity for all. Joe, out of York, good morning.
Good morning, Vince. I work for two foreign countries in my country here, America, and one of the largest successful chemical companies in the world. And both companies admire our culture. We don't want to change our culture. No one else, no other country in the world can compete with us. And we have the most productive and creative people on earth. And these professors trying to dumb us down by making us communists, they're out of their minds. I want the rule of law apply. A mayor does not have a right to tell the police to stand down if there's someone breaking into a building. That is, yep. She's going against, so he is going against the law and should be removed and put in jail, as far as I'm concerned, because we're going to go to total chaos, total destruction of the greatest nation on earth. And think of all the other countries we've helped. And what we're doing to make sure people remember, Mount McKinley is no longer Mount McKinley. President McKinley was one of the best presidents we ever had. His vice president happened to be Teddy Roosevelt. And when McKinley was assassinated, Teddy Roosevelt took over. And McKinley's goal was to keep foreign countries from invading small countries like Cuba. and we protected Cuba. We protected, Puerto Rico, in a country out in the Pacific somewhere. And they love us forever. And that was quite a while ago. That was around the 120 years ago. So this crap that we got to change our culture is a total lie. What they want to do is dumb down our culture so they can compete with us.
Oh, that's
that simple.
That is certainly the strategy, Joe. Appreciate your call. Time for at least one more here. Frederick, about 30 seconds here out of Charlotte. Frederick.
Yes, very quickly, just to touch on two subjects, and I'll keep this very brief. Number one, as far as the economy, there was not a sustainable change in the economy when Trump took office, other than the trend which was occurring previously. When you say watching certain channels or whatever the case may be, I'd say to you and all of your listeners, what I'm about to say, do not believe a word of it. Go out and do the research yourself. I straight with the Department of Labor. It's all out there in black and white. Pre-COVID-19, through January of this year, the first 3 years of the Trump administration, there were fewer jobs created than the previous 3 years before he got there. Also, as far as GDP growth, there has not been a discernible increase in GDP growth. Once again, if you don't.
Now, that's not accurate. In fact, I have information that counters both of those claims, Frederick. Perhaps you can call back once we go through these numbers, but it's very much evident. I was just looking at a chart and a graph. This was done by mainstream news media on the GDP. So I know for a fact, freshly, that what you've shared is not the truth. So we'll deal with this another time. I very quickly want to get to our guest, who we shared her story, a post from her on this program earlier this week. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but it's an incredible story of survival. I'm referring to Vera Blakeney, who's joining us on the program now. Vera is a dear lady, and she has just been through hell. I mean, I don't know how else to characterize this. And she's still standing to share her story this morning. Welcome to the broadcast, Vera. How are you?
I'm doing better. How are you today?
Hey, doing very well, very well. I want to start with the beginning here with your story and this COVID-19 misadventure. How did this start for you?
You know, I think I was probably one of the first people at the very beginning of the pandemic, just going about my daily life and started to feel some breathing issues. This was in March, and so I thought it was allergies. I had no clue that it was as serious as it was, because people weren't really focusing on it the way they are now. And I just continued to feel worse. My daughter happened to be with me when I just got to the point where I could not breathe. Now, this is the thing about it. My aunt died, and we had her funeral on the 21st. That is the last memory I have. After that, I do not remember anything. That was on a Saturday, and on that Tuesday, I was hospitalized and did not remember anything until I woke up on April 24th when they were bringing me out of ICU.
Oh, my goodness. What happened to you? Did you just black out?
I didn't black out because my daughter said we had conversations. She said, I told her I didn't feel well. She took me to the emergency room. They diagnosed me with double pneumonia initially. I went to my doctor. They referred me to my doctor. When I got to my doctor, my temperature was 103. Yes, and she was the one who said, I believe you have the virus. My daughter took me back to the emergency room, and they admitted me. And the story from there is something that I never would have imagined. I was going to the gym 3 days a week. I was with Silver Sneakers. I'm on Medicare, and so they offer that program free. Healthy, I did not take one pill. I was very healthy. I ate right. I exercised. I walked 5 miles.
And yet, you really got hit with this thing. We've got to go to a break. We're going to hear more of Vera's story, her survival story, as we continue the broadcast. Stay with us.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
On Wellness Wednesday, our conversation with Vera Blakeney. She spent 33 days in the hospital, 24 of those in the ICU, because of COVID-19. She's been sharing her story. And one of the things I'm curious about, what was it that was the tipping point for you that forced you to go to the hospital?
I could not breathe. The virus attacked my lungs first. And my doctors were kind enough, after I had survived, to sit down to speak with me about the gravity of my situation and how close to death I was. My physician told me that when I was admitted into the ICU, that my lungs looked like someone who had drowned, that there was very little oxygen in my lungs. It was full of infection. And so they had to insert the ventilator so that I could breathe. I could not breathe on my own. So that was the issue that really forced me into the hospital. But once I got there, the virus started to mutate and to move into other areas of my body. Now, I was already a risk factor because I'm 69 years old, so that was a risk factor in and of itself. But my doctors also told me that because I was in good health, that it really aided in my recovery. So at first it was my lungs, and then the virus went into my bloodstream. I had to have 3 blood transfusions. My blood was so low that they thought that was going to take me out. At first, they thought I was going to die because of my breathing issues. And then there was an issue with my blood cells. But the thing that caused them to call my children to tell them that I was dying was it then went to my kidneys. Now, a normal kidney functions at a 1. 1 or below is normal. My doctor told me that when I was in ICU, my kidney function was 8.3, which meant I was dying. My kidneys were shut down. And so they immediately began to put me on dialysis. And I have when I woke up, I saw these marks on my neck. And I said, what are these marks? And they said, you had to have dialysis. And they had to put the port in your neck. Now, I wake up, and I'm thinking it's the day after the funeral, and it is April 24th, so I'm confused, I'm sick, I don't know what's going on. Things are moving really fast for me. They're taking me out of ICU. There were no family members there because no one was allowed into the hospital unless they were sick. So it was a scary time for me. It was a time when I don't know sickness because I'm very healthy. It was very heart-wrenching for me. It was gut-wrenching for me to be in that situation.
And I'm sure it must have been for your family as well. We're talking with Vera Blakeney, who has just had a horrific experience dealing with the coronavirus. At the end of this, tell us about your recovery and how it happened, how you basically started coming back to life to the point you were able to leave the hospital. How did that happen?
Well, fortunately, my daughter is a techie. She has mobile phones and iPads. So she put my iPad and my iPhone into my bag when I went to the hospital because she thought it was just going to be, keep her for a day and send her home. But because I couldn't have any visitors, they called my children every day. My children were absolutely devastated. The first day that my daughter took me, they would not allow her in. She sat in the parking lot 4 hours trying to call somebody to convince them to let her come in because they told her that I was in ICU. They were absolutely devastated, my daughter and my son. My daughter, on Easter Sunday, she gave them my password and my username for my iPad. And I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. She played gospel music all that day. And somehow I heard that. And at 6:30 the next morning, the doctor called my son, and he said it meant one thing, that I had died. He went after the phone. He called my daughter. And they called the doctor back on three-way, and he said, for some reason, between the time I left her on Sunday evening until this morning, she has rallied, and she's doing better. And that began because people were praying for me. There were people in Europe who were praying for me. There were people in Canada who were praying for me. And so I started to turn around. And once I began that rally, it got better from there. But Vince, when I came home, That ICU experience, that virus ravaged my body. I came home unable to speak because the ventilator slowed my vocal cords shut, so I could not communicate. I went through this, and I'm a pretty strong person, and I did not cry until I was able to see my legs. My muscles had atrophied in my legs, and the muscle mass was gone, and my legs looked like stick legs. So I could not walk, I could not sit, I could not stand. I was like a newborn baby. I couldn't do any of those things. Things that I had done without even thinking about, I could not do. I went home with my kidneys only functioning at 50%. They gave me a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, and a speech therapist to assist in my recovery. So that is how I went home. I went home by ambulance, and I was disabled and in a wheelchair. Could not walk, could not talk.
And as I understand it, you've experienced a remarkable recovery. They were expecting you to need these services for several months. And did I understand you tell me yesterday evening that you are pretty much through with these therapists?
My doctors told them, and they worked in collaboration, that I would need the services for 6 months. In 3 months, I was done. In 4 weeks, I was walking again. My lungs were functioning again. They're not at full capacity, but my lungs were functioning. I was able to do all the things that I could not do when I came home, shower and cook my food and do the normal things that people do when they arrive in the morning. My doctors called me a miracle. I went to my nephrologist, my kidney doctor, about 2 weeks ago, and he did not even recognize me. He went out to the nurses and said, "Did you mix up the rooms?" And they said, "No, that's here." He came back in, and he was so elated. He said, "I never thought that you would leave that hospital alive." Wow. And they all have one description for me: my nephrologist, my pulmonologist, my general practitioner. They all call me a miracle. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about changing my name to Miracle. Because that's what they all say. Like, oh, my God, you are a miracle.
That is absolutely awesome. This is an incredible story. Vera, I've always appreciated you. For those of you who... I have a number of people who work in the airline industry. Vera worked as a gate agent on E-Concourse, and just one of the most wonderful and gracious people you could possibly deal with as you're boarding your flight. She's obviously going to be away from that for a while. We only have about 30 seconds left. I know above everything else, you want to give God the glory for your survival.
Let me tell you, I tell people Easter Sunday was the day that Christ was resurrected. Easter Monday is the day I was resurrected because I had received the death notice that I was dying. And I give God the praise, the honor, the glory. People prayed for me.
Yep.
And they had a prayer wall that death could not penetrate.
Amen to that. Vera, thank you very much for coming on. God bless you and your continued recovery. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Over on the text line, just some responses here to the conversation you heard with Vera Blakeney. Vince, that was a fantastic and gut-wrenching interview. All the rabble in the streets on all sides need to hear this and know that COVID-19 can give them something to really say, I can't breathe about. Boy, you got that right. Ah, my goodness. What a story. And we're certainly thrilled that she has come to the other side of this and recovered so quickly. Love to get your thoughts as we continue. Take a couple of quick calls before we go into some other heavy material, beginning with Robert. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Vince. I appreciate you taking my phone call. Always enjoy listening to your show. I wanted to comment on two things real quickly. One on Tony, the truck driver. Tony, I don't know what country you're living in, but you know, this is pre-corona. This is the best economy I have seen, and I'm 59 years old. This is the best economy I have seen in years. Things were cranking right along. Unemployment was very, very low for all sectors of our society. Things were really looking good. So, but the other thing I wanted to comment on was is I find it to be rather ironic that Nike Corporation is putting pressure on the Washington Redskins to get rid of all their memorabilia when you got Nike, who is headquartered in a country that treats their people like absolute dog crap over in China. So I find that to be rather hypocritical, if you will. So I just wanted to leave it at that, and thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thanks very much for your call. It's really, there's a lot of hypocrisy to go around on this, and we're going to deal with a little bit of this hypocrisy coming up in just a bit. Joe also wanting to respond to Tony. Take it away.
Okay, how you doing, Vince?
Yeah,
doing well. Tony has some interesting points. Being Democratic talking points, we could certainly take a look all around on that situation. But I believe when you talk about the greatest economy we have ever had, it was pretty good during the tech boom, second part of Clinton. However, when we look at what's happening to our commercial agricultural farmers, and we want to know about rolling up our sleeves as Americans, why aren't all Americans out there picking the cabbages and cantaloupes and all of the vegetables that come to our table? Why isn't it the Americans that are out there doing it? That way we could save money from the migrant expense, since we want to be so hard on immigration. Then Americans need to be out there in those fields.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying there, Joe. I don't know that I can add anything in addition to that. Very excellent point here. Let's also go out to Tony, who is wanting to address a medical issue, I assume. Good morning.
Hi, Vince.
Yes, sir.
Hey, just a quick point I wanted to make about Tony at the top of the hour. The truck driver said he's living paycheck to paycheck, and I can't speak to his circumstances and personal, don't know his personal finances, but the point he was making that many Americans were living paycheck to paycheck, and if they missed a paycheck, then they were struggling. And I don't disagree with that point, but I think that is more of a personal choice to choose to spend your entire paycheck every month as opposed to save. And if more Americans would save money and prepare for a rainy day, then they would be less dependent on paycheck to paycheck. And so I think it's more of a personal choice. Again, he may be in a tough financial situation. No one knows.
Yeah, this is an, you've brought up a very important point, which gets to financial management, which is something that I wish schools did a much better job. And, you know, the responsibility is also on parents who need to help prepare people. We need to do a lot of work in this particular area. Thanks very much for your call. A couple of things I want to get to. I want to make sure we have time for this. And I think following in the point that was made by Tony, let's just be very straightforward about this. The Democrat Party has reached a point where it has been overtaken by people who are radicals. That's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with radicals. They want to systematically destroy the country as it is now. They hate capitalism, the free market system, and they want to basically bring a bulldozer and wreck the entire thing and reassemble it in their own image. What I'm going to share with you now is something I find to be quite disgusting. I want you to just imagine for me a moment. We're going to play some audio here from Ms. Ilhan Omar. John, if you want to have that ready. But I just want you to think about something. Imagine you were to go to, I don't know, a Middle Eastern country, and let's say by some weird circumstance, you are a refugee. You're a refugee that goes to that country. They have somehow rescued you, and you're in this now mostly Muslim country. And you have the nerve to presume to run for office in that country. And you run on the idea of, you know what, the traditions that are in place here, and this entire system is corrupt from, you know, from the very foundations. We need to wreck everything and rebuild it. How many of you think you would be alive very long if you were to pull that in any country on the planet? Ilhan Omar, this woman just blows my mind. She's here thanks to the generosity of the American people who've accepted her. And this woman literally wants to undermine and destroy the very foundation of the country. You don't believe me? Listen to what she had to say about what needs to change in this country.
As long as our economy and political systems prioritize profit without considering who is profiting, who is being shut out, we will perpetuate this inequality. So we cannot stop at criminal justice system. We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it.
Dismantling the whole system of oppression. I'll tell you what, this woman practically makes me want to cuss. I mean, it just blows my mind. Oppression. This woman has no idea what oppression is if she thinks that's what's going on in the United States of America. Absolutely deplorable. Stay with us.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Over on the text line, Vince, Ilhan Omar does know what oppression is. She's a Muslim woman. Problem is, she does not want to dismantle that particular system of oppression. Another person saying here, when she left Somalia, she should have left those ideas there. Giving everything to the bosses and no police, it don't work here. It certainly does not work here. Ah, my goodness. Let us take a look at the day in history, and we'll talk about something else that I do not want to let get away from us any longer than it already has. We'll address what that particular subject is coming up in just a bit. We have Johnny and Billy with us to answer any questions related to this date in history.
Hola.
July 8th, 2020. We begin back in 1777. The first colony to abandon slavery. It is a, I think it's a place where some very wealthy people live, and but not very many people at all. Very small population. What is this colony?
Delaware?
Not quite. That was actually the first state. But this is the first state to eliminate slavery. What can I give you as a hint? My goodness.
Cleveland.
Because it's really so boring. I don't even know. I know I'm going to tick off somebody. I can't believe you actually said something terrible about this. It's in the Northeast, known for its natural landscape, which is primarily forested. It's in the New England region.
New Hampshire?
In fact, 119th century covered wooden bridges and a major producer of maple syrup.
Oh, Vermont.
There we go.
All right, good.
It is Vermont.
Yay.
I am impressed.
Took three
Second
guesses.
One, 1889. This is a newspaper that has been around for quite some time. It's very important for people who are at the intersection of Broad and this street. What is it? What is this journal called?
The Wall Street Journal?
The Wall Street Journal. Started publishing in 1889. This person, who's a writer, was wounded in Italy while working as an ambulance driver for the Red Cross. I didn't know about that. Who is this famous person? I need to give you another hint, probably.
That would help.
This is an American journalist. Let's see. Journalist, novelist, short story writer, and sportsman. Had a strong influence on 20th century fiction. Let's see.
I can see him. He's like...
All right. This one, I can't even give any more hints because I just can't. It's Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
That's who it is. All right. This was the first album to go gold, and it's actually a soundtrack for a production that's also the name of a state. What is it?
I might know this. Billy, Georgia.
Is it Oklahoma?
Oklahoma is absolutely right. And 2011, we had a space shuttle launch. This one, Atlantis. What was significant about this particular launch in 2011? You should know this from the recent SpaceX launch, because we hearkened back to 2011 for a very important reason.
Did it end poorly?
Actually, it end is a good word to use, because it was the final mission of our shuttle program.
Ah.
Have not had a shuttle launch since then, 2011. So there you go. Hey, guys, how many of you, as you were growing up, listened to American Top 40?
All the time.
Yeah, I absolutely love that show. In fact, they replay this in a number of areas now. Would you believe that show, 50 years ago, is when it started. 50 years ago, July 4th weekend, is when Casey Kasem started counting down the hits. July 4th, 1970 is when it started, originally hosted by Casey Kasem. American Top 40 playing the best-selling and most-played songs from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Canada to Mexico.
Keep your feet on the ground.
I don't reach for the stars. Keep reaching for the stars.
I don't know how old you guys think that I am.
Oh, that's right. You're still a kid.
I'm not a kid, but I don't go back that far.
Hey, by comparison, you are a kid.
He likes Shadow Stevens.
Yeah, there you go. On any given week, and I can certainly testify this, especially in a very eclectic decade like really the 70s and the 80s when I was listening to this program, the Top 40 could feature a ballad next to a country song, next to a funk song, next to a rock song.
He'd mix it up. He wasn't afraid to mix it up.
It was, yeah, it was all of these things. At the end of the 60s, Top 40 was not the most popular format. This may surprise a lot of people. And here they bring this show, American Top 40, and people thought he was crazy for experimenting with this. When it started, it was only on seven radio stations. Seven radio stations. The Top 40 format actually dates back to the early mid-50s, and it was actually on the decline. And there are people who certainly believe, because of American Top 40, this is a major reason that Top 40 started to make a recovery. By the early 80s, the show was heard on more than 500 radio stations across America and on the Armed Forces Radio Network around the world.
It was almost like a song.
Once in that voice. I mean, you just can't beat that voice.
3 more years till he found his rightful niche on the country chart.
That was him introing Ronnie Millsap for you.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, the guy just had a great radio voice. It's, when I think of voices that I missed, that is certainly one of them. Casey Kasem, rest his soul. In any case, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today. Be safe out there, please.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.